I don't know why you're so off it, Aaron.
My biggest bone to pick, to be honest, is the name. The name is Drevel. It's like they picked out
Night Court.
Two random words from the dictionary, milked 9 seasons of it, and then forgot to rename
it. Get out of here.
If we were doing this podcast in 1985, you'd be saying how good and clever the name was. And simple and effective.
And I would have been wrong. And I deserved better then. And I deserve better now.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Fell Grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to The Incomplete Series, the podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and the very last episode of a TV series and just unpack all the tasty morsels we find within it. My name's Morgan and joining me to do this is my personal barrister, Jerome Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
I'm well. I'm actually a barista though. It's a common mistake, but I'm a coffee guy and not a lawman. Agree to disagree.
I say this all the time. So
you'd think this could be the episode for me with my quasi legal training, you know, to really
exactly
come into my own.
We've been building towards this show for a long time. We'll circle back to that. So next up we have Aaron. Aaron, welcome back for the however I think you've been in 65 of 70 podcasts or 71 podcasts. So you know, it's a pretty good strike rate.
Thank you, Morgan. I've missed you trying to keep track of how many times we've been on in a row.
No,
I'm getting out of hand at this point.
Podcast durability is what I look for, Aaron, and you're hitting it.
Thank you.
And lastly, we have Scott, editor-in-chief. Scott, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Morgan. I'm disappointed that Aaron and I didn't get legal professions in your introduction. I could have been a clerk.
I could see you being a good clerk. And Aaron, you know what? I'll circle back. And Aaron, you be an excellent bailiff.
Oh, thank you.
You got bull written all over you.
I was gunning for that bailiff role.
I'm building towards it. Well, this is a little strange, guys, because the last couple of podcasts, we've actually been in person. And now we're back to,
remote
conditions.
Fake. Sort of fake podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. So the energy you feel is not real. It's all been doctored by Scott's
energy.
Editing skills.
Yeah, that's true. This is Morgan recording by himself, and he's created AI voices for all of us. So this is just for Morgan's benefit, basically.
I'm pulling clips from old shows, and just
none of us are actually
pasting
real.
It together.
I would prefer to be addressed as Microsoft Scott.
Microsoft Scott. legal shows. So we've. Something we've been circling or talked about. I think it's some on-air stuff, some not. But Night Court. We finally stepped into Night Court, which is, you know, Jez, right in your cue zone. You love
really
anything legal themed.
I do love night-based shows. Baywatch
exactly.
Nights, Knight Rider. These have all been great for me.
Yeah. Your two passions, evening and the law. Really, really working into it. Now, guys, I'm sort of intrigued to know. I mean, does anyone have any understanding as to what Night Court was?
I realized watching this that my only knowledge of Night Court was the theme song from... I feel like this happens a fair bit on our podcast, but shows how the kind of highbrow TV that we watch in our own time. But the only reference to it I've ever seen before was a Family Guy episode. Where Bill Clinton plays the theme song on saxophone with his two bodyguards.
Know what else will help? A little saxophone therapy.
I can't remember that.
Can't remember that?
It's deep cut.
No. Deep cut.
Yeah, and I was like, fuck, where do I know that from? And I googled Family Guy Night Court, and I'm like, that's where it, yep, of course. Anyway, that's... Family Guy will have to sponsor us at some point because we keep bringing them up.
Aaron, I feel like I can answer for you. Is it 30 Rock for you?
It is 30 Rock and only 30 Rock.
Night Court was supposed to end with a wedding between Christine and Harry, but the show didn't get a 10th season, so that great love story was left untold.
So you never got closure with those beloved characters?
I'd always had Kenneth's back until now, but I'm flipping on that if he thinks Night Court deserves a 10th season. That man's out of his goddamn mind.
It was not a strong finish.
Mediocre start, weak finish.
I like the premise. Yeah. I thought...
I like it too.
Oh, you would, Jez.
Judge Harry T. Stone was a charismatic guy. He was a pretty charming. His heart was in the right place. Just wanted to do good.
I gotta say, I'm pretty surprised to hear that, eh? But I thought you would have really enjoyed this, because I thought this actually had some legs. I think this would actually carry. You could reboot this now, and I think it would really work.
Oh, it's very rebootable, and I got some chuckles early, but the wheels fell off big time.
I mean, yeah. If you have like an alien subplot, then
yeah. So the wheels didn't get fall to the off.
Alien subplot.
They caught fire. They caught fire, and the car imploded all at the same time. It was case catastrophic closed. That finish. But but look, maybe we should actually just start jumping into the show now, and we'll unpack it all and dissect why this should get a 10th season.
The opening episode of Night Court introduces Judge Harry T. Stone, a wacky, fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants type judge who isn't afraid to break some legal boundaries to get a ruling.
Ladies and gentlemen of the court, well, how the hell are you tonight?
He's presiding over the book clerk Lana, public defender Sheila, exasperated prosecutor Dan, played by John Larroquette, and the dim-witted bailiff, Bull. Judge Harry's first case is to settle an attempted murder charge for a wife against her husband, committed after she caught him sleeping with a sex worker.
This could go either way.
Yes.
Unless...
What?
No, I guess it's got to go either way, doesn't it?
Judge Harry orders them to go out to dinner and resolve their differences, which unfortunately ends in tears. In line with the court gallery being made up of what seems like a Jerry Springer crowd, Harry manages to get the couple to realise they love each other by threatening to rule by the flip of a coin. And after making up, all the charges are dropped.
By the power vested in me by the state of New York, I pronounce you a little better off than you were when you came in.
And Lana decides that Judge Harry isn't such a bad guy after all, and there'll be plenty more emotional rulings to come. I'm going to compare our main man, Harry, Judge Harry Stone, to another one of our main men, Tom Selleck. Love wearing a pair of jeans, very long legs.
Yeah, he's got long legs.
Doesn't have the powerful physique of Selleck, though.
Yeah, but I was about to say, that's kind of where it finishes, he's though. There's more, absolutely no other resemblance.
More Slender Man physique.
Yeah.
He's very thin.
Scott, I think your mum loved Tom Selleck's long, luscious legs. Have you spoken to her about Harry Anderson?
I haven't. I haven't tackled that one yet. And to be honest, I'm a little bit afraid to.
I really need his opinion on this.
That's true. I can't say a full name. I'm bleeping that.
Now it sounds like I called her like a or something.
If I bleep that, this is going to make no sense.
Okay, just don't let her hear this episode. Your mum not. I don't want to ruin that.
I think you should bleep that.
I'm going to stop speaking. I'm digging a hole.
Now, pre-podcast, I said to you guys there was a character, one of the main cast from this show has appeared as a villain in another show that we've watched, and it's one of the recent crop of things that we've watched. None of you worked out who it was.
Is it John Larroquette?
No.
Because I would just put my money on him.
It's not John Larroquette, because you're going to remember John Larroquette's hair, which could be fake, but I'm pretty sure it's not. So
it's real.
It's real. It's just very
fake hair.
It's something else, but yeah, I don't know. It's just very... But anyway, it's not John Larroquette, but it is one of the main cast, one of the guys we see in episode one and the finale, which we watched. And I don't... Oh. It is Bull. What else did Bull appear in that we watched? He only appeared in one episode, and he was a villain in something.
Bull the Bailiff.
Was it in an episode that we watched?
It's in an episode that we watched.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. So the actor's Richard Mole?
Richard Mole.
Household
don't
name.
IMDb it. Don't IMDb it.
I'm going to our website to see the episodes that we've done.
Scary Movie 2.
Yeah, you remember when we did the show, the television show, Scary Movie 2.
What's
Take a stab in the show. I don't think we should we shouldn't work it back, but he is Slan in Highlander.
Oh, that guy sucked.
Highlander. In the first episode of Highlander, he is Slan. Slan the Handsome.
He's very handsome.
If you haven't seen that or listened to that episode that we've done, that was not a very entertaining 3 minutes, so I apologize for that. But it was very intriguing because they do not look similar at all, and it really, we pointed out how Slan the Handsome shouldn't be called Slan the Handsome, and it was very much confirmed in this episode of all these two episodes we just watched of Night Court. Mm-hmm.
Bull is better. He's more of a bull than a handsome.
What? No. Tell a judge the mayor called.
I feel like we need to tackle the main issue in the title of this show. Why is it Night Court? What does the knight bring to this whole situation?
What I thought was that it was like cases they couldn't fit during the day and were maybe not as important.
That checks out.
It's like a magistrate's court equivalent, and it's just so you're not holding people unnecessarily.
Like for attempted murder?
Well, I feel like that one was a bit of a stretch.
Husband and wife, married 27 years. She catches him with a prostitute, fires a couple of shots, misses them both by a mile, so the DA files for attempted murder.
When they make the quib at the end that, you know, it's like $55 and time served, he's basically just, he's just doing bail hearings, basically, right?
So is that just a thing? Is Night Court
clearing the
a
books?
Thing?
Clearing the books.
Well, there's I'm like, sure it is. There's bail and remand court, which is
at night.
Until like 10 p.m., I think.
Oh, okay.
All right.
That's definitely night court.
Now we're in my wheelhouse. You want to talk about court policy? I can.
That's what people come here for. Legal tips.
I don't want to reveal any trade secrets. But no, they do have, like, you know, night hearings so that people aren't unnecessarily held without being,
and,
you know, charged with anything.
And get to just be a little bit wacky. Get to loosen the tie, try out some new material.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. They put all the zany fun judges on at night, obviously, because they're
Crowd's had a few more drinks. Gets a bit rowdy.
Yeah.
Is that where they also they're also allowed to try irregular punishments at night? You can dish them out at night, but not the day.
You can sentence people to go to dinner together.
I order the defendant, Mrs. Kerr, and her husband, Mr. Kerr, and the attorneys involved to go to a nearby restaurant, sit down, have a cup of coffee, relax, try to work out this little thing.
Purely night only, because you can't have dinner during the day. It doesn't work. That's just lunch.
can we talk about the gallery?
Yeah.
Because...
So, is this Judge Judy?
Kind of.
Is it like a joke court?
Well, to me, here's what it looks like.
Joke court.
It looks like they were going to film the show, and they're like, we don't have anybody in the gallery. Doesn't really make sense. Some people would be watching this, and it was like day of filming. And I reckon they went out the front of whatever television station they were shooting it at, and they rounded up a bunch of people, and they let them loose in the costume department, and were like,
"There was a bunch of like do whatever you want." Bunch of 80s street toughs in the gallery.
Because there's like people there's wearing a guy with sunglasses. Like a red, like
he's wearing a red
sleeveless vest.
Skin tight singlet, and sunglasses.
Next to a guy in like guy a zoot suit or something.
Yeah.
I was searching a guy in like an ape costume or something. Like,
you know, I don't know. Who else would go, you know, sit in on Night Court for fun?
Have you ever sat in on a court for fun, Jez?
Not for fun, but like I have.
Have you incidentally had fun while you were there?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, see how the legal system works. But what? No, I'm pretty sure. Like, didn't you guys go in high school as well? They take you down to the magistrate's court.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's depressing. That's similar, but it's not as zany. It's just more like
I think they took us to the city because they don't want you to know people who are in there.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure we went to the Frankston one, Jez, from memory, which is in
Ironside. Yeah, we did both.
Mm. No, I don't think it's a good thing.
Mm. Yeah, you don't want anyone, the local anyone criminals. Who's been accused of anything to point you My out dad. In the gallery and be like, what are you laughing at, you little shit?
Before we went in, they made us all put on our Halloween costumes.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
To add to the, yeah.
Made us rip all the sleeves off our t-shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
All to add to the theatre of the courtroom process. Yeah. It's all about the theatre and the pageant.
Yeah. There's a dress code before you go into the Frankston Magistrates Court, and it's 80s street tough attire.
There was one little goof, I don't know if you guys noticed it, towards the end, when Harry's sort of like wrapping up that court case. Did you notice he's wearing a clip-on tie and it's just peeled straight off his shirt, just kind of hanging out?
Is that a goof, or is that like part of his zany persona?
Is that him? Is that just him?
I wasn't sure.
I thought it was kind of like when you loosen your tie at the end of the day and you're unwinding. But it's
he just clipped it off.
You unclip your tie to say, I'm off the clock now.
Do you think maybe, or is it a Harry Stone thing, or is it a Night Court judge thing that you don't get the full tie? You just get a clip-on tie. Just
Well,
to our knowledge, this is the only Night Court judge. So
the way they explained it, that they called everyone, and he was the only one who answered his phone on a Sunday.
and that's how he got.
Yeah, that's really poor hiring practice.
I reckon that's just that's a little joke that he. I reckon it'll come out later that he's like some, you know, because they all end up by the end of the episode they kind of. What's the name of the he's Clark, Lana. She's not big on him to start, but she comes around to his ways by the end of the episode.
What you did out here tonight was beautiful.
And I feel like maybe he'll start to reveal a bit more, like his serious side, when people start to see that there's value in his methods.
If she's going to come around to him as a judge, what he did in that first episode did nothing to support that.
Yeah, he saved a marriage.
No. There's this little like there's this little play that he does that's like sort of, if you're familiar with the Batman series, the character of Two-Face, who's got a two-headed coin.
Yeah, yeah,
and he's kind of like making decisions.
More coin flipping than there probably should have been.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like sort of doing this thing where he's like, all right, well, you can get 7 years if you flip it and it gets a tails or whatever.
All right, then let's flip the coin again. Let's decide the Kerr case.
The defense wants head, Your Honor.
And then he's like, don't worry, it was actually okay because I have a two-headed coin. What a weird gimmick.
The thing, I guess the big difference is Harvey Dent was a villain. A villainous, murderous man.
Yeah, would mean you use that
to decide whether or not to kill people.
I make my own luck.
Kind of where it differed. Is there a Lou Ferrigno episode? I'm just looking through IMDb here.
Well, there was a Lou Ferrigno. I reckon this had a lot of the sort of a Lou TV-ish. What's that?
One of the Lou Ferrignos was there.
Yeah, one of the Lou Ferrignos was in.
Like there are many.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they went through at least one a week on at least one a week. They had to keep replacing him on the Hulk because
saw some heavy use.
Exactly,
but they'd already done the credits
asbestos and killed him.
They couldn't change his name in the credits, so they needed to hire people named Lou Ferrigno.
Exactly. Just easier to just jack up some other new person.
Some Ferrignos were harmed in the making of this episode.
One Ferrigno was harmed.
The same Ferrigno was harmed. Episode.
Anyway, so when one of the Lou Ferrignos was on Night Court, continue.
I don't really have anything else to follow up. <with. laughs> The point I was making is that I'm sure there was a lot of 70s, 80s TV stars that rolled through this.
I want to ask you guys, there was an insult thrown between the married couple when they were having a spat in court. The husband said to the wife, "Your family looks like slinkies."
Yeah,
I mean, just
what's it mean?
What does that mean?
Your whole family's crazy. Their chromosomes aren't normal, and they all look like slinkies.
What are you guys picturing when someone says that?
I was picturing, so you know, when Judge Harry was getting settled in his chambers, and he was bringing his crap in.
Yeah.
And he let off one of those can of snakes.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was like a throwback to the can of snakes gag earlier. And I kind of pictured them as being a family that lived in some sort of can.
And were, like snake people?
Were coiled up snakes, yeah.
I pictured them as they just whenever they're coming down the second floor of their house, they just come down the stairs like a slinky.
That's a terrible insult, though. Just at no level does that really work.
More confusing than anything.
Unless it's some kind of outdated racial slur.
Oh,
it has aged very poorly.
It could have aged very poorly, and here we are just throwing the S word around.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Scott, can you beep all that?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Don't tell your mum I called her a slinky.
It's better safe than sorry. People could be listening to this episode 10 years from now.
Whose family are slinkies.
Could be back
we're
in
really
vogue.
Putting our foot in it. We're going to get cancelled. But anyway, we won't get too far into that. But let's maybe move on to the finale of Night Court and go from and then try and see why it didn't get a 10th season.
The final episode of Night Court has Harry considering leaving the bench to become a professor, and the show's main defensive legal counsel and love interest, Christine, has just been elected to Congress.
And we finally have a winner in the 13th Congressional District. The winner is public defender Christine Sullivan.
I won!
Meanwhile, Dan is having his Me Too moment. He's in court facing dozens of women he's mistreated on the charge of being a dirtbag.
Dan Fielding, this court finds you guilty on all charges of disrespect, insensitivity, and overall crappy behavior toward women.
But it turns out that it was all just a dream, and he has a revelation that he must chase his one true love, Christine. And the series wraps up with the bailiff Bull finding out that his two old friends from Florida are actually aliens, and they take him to their home planet of Jupiter.
I really don't know where to begin with this because there's like... Jeremy, please step in here.
Sure.
I mean, just to be clear, I didn't miss out.
Just step in now?
In that... plot jumps that were really missed. They just threw that in at the end.
I don't know what's going on. Bull was in a completely different show because I don't know what was happening.
Bull
in that
is in Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what he
Bull
was in.
Bull is in. It was almost like that was setting up a spin-off.
I think they just strange.
They were trying to kind of, you know, lightheartedly explain his strangeness, because he was in the first episode, he was nowhere near as strange as he was in the last episode. In the last episode, they couldn't even talk to him because he was just completely. Maybe he had like a stroke or something halfway through, and like the last few seasons, he's just completely brain dead, and this is all happening in his mind.
There they are, the people who've been following me. Only they aren't people. They're aliens.
Maybe.
I mean, Dan got a 10-minute dream sequence. So maybe that last couple of minutes is Bull Zone.
I kind of liked that, though. I thought that was...
It was the one thing about that, it was, like you said, a 10-minute sequence. It was like 8 minutes, which is like a third of the episode.
Yeah.
Just a dream sequence. Yeah.
A third of your finale is just a... unrelated dream sequence.
Is Dan auto asphyxiating himself, erotically asphyxiating himself while he has a dream about?
Dan in the first
Me Too part that was taken away from that was completely stripped away by Dan choking himself when he comes to. Like, what's going on?
Why is he doing
this? He's got these like hundreds of women who he's slept with and just screwed over.
Yeah. And how is John Larroquette a sex symbol? Like, did I miss something? Like.
He got more of a slick sleazebag vibe. In the first episode, he was just some posh stiff. He was a bit of a womanizing dirtbag in the last one, which I thought was a good, you know, that was a good turn. And it was an interesting premise, but that shouldn't be the last episode of your TV show.
Not for that much of it.
For not one of the major characters. I mean, he's one of the major characters, but he's not. It seems like it was all Christine, who wasn't in the first episode, and Harry.
Yeah, I mean, there was an obvious romance between Harry and Christine, which is just not... Which is sort of... Like, it does... Clearly, there was a 10th season planned, because they allude to something happening there. And even at the end, when John Larroquette kind of says...
It's been building up for years... She's the only woman who's ever really understood me.
Dan, who's the lucky girl?
Christine.
because clearly the set, the arc of the final season is set with that.
Yeah, she kisses him right towards
well, she kisses him. And, there, and yeah, the whole 30 Rock spin-off is meant to be a, you know, the conclusion of what the original run was.
But the, yeah, was like you said, this like 7 or 8 minute B-plot in the middle of the finale. They mustn't have known that it was the finale.
No, I can't imagine they would.
Yeah, there's so much alien action unresolved.
No, but then you could probably just brush that off as like a weird gag, like a post-credits gag in, you know, by not even addressing it in the next season.
Maybe they do this every other episode, you know?
That's what I was thinking as well, because Bull's just a bit of a, like, he's off with the fairies, you know, and he keeps going to them saying, like, oh, I've been following me. And they're like, oh, did you work out what was happening with the aliens? All this sort of stuff. So, you know, I feel like he's just got these crazy plot lines throughout.
Oh yeah, I drank peyote at lunchtime.
Yeah, well, that was
it. Sorry, dinner time.
But that,
dinner
that,
time.
What,
dinner time, yeah.
What surprised me? No lunch so in that finale. That was 92. That was that finale was that came out. Which I that's a really long run. I think so. 83 to 92, which is so
massive.
9 years.
Yeah, yeah. So 193 episodes.
What's happening in this show?
Yeah. Well, even though that last episode, it was kind of insane what happened. But like clearly, it was setting up to for another season. It wasn't that bad. It was still some laughs in it. The Bull storyline, you throw that out, that's pretty good.
Like, but that wasn't even. It was pretty funny up until the weird turn. But I thought that that were just that was just some bizarre humor.
A couple of weird old dudes. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm surprised it hasn't had a little bit more life based on obviously 9 seasons, and it's pretty creative and different for anything we've seen out of that time period that we've looked at. Like, you don't have anything that gets this wacky with its humor, I found.
Seems to have its heart in the right place. And I think Judge Harry is, like, you know, a bit of a charming lead. But interesting lead. Wasn't, you know, doesn't look like a lot of leading men in that would carry a TV show back in the day.
White man with hair?
No, you know what? He was a bit of, like, He had long legs, but they were skinny legs, you know?
True.
It wasn't like a macho kind of, you know.
Smashing that glass ceiling.
And it was all about being like empathetic and, well, not a minority, but for that, it's for the 80s and 90s, you know?
Yeah.
That's a real risk then.
Have an empathetic leading man. Oh, all right, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Chuck it in the bin. Show's trash. This podcast's trash. Wrap it up.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from, Jez. They haven't chucked Tom Selleck in or because he was a magician comedian, which is a really weird thing to be famous for. I mean, maybe in the 80s.
Is he really? Different. Is that is that this guy's background?
He wasn't a very experienced actor, so it came off like a lot of Tonight Show stuff and comedian magician.
Right. So that bit gag in the first episode where he's like, Lana the clerk comes into his office, and she's like trying to bring up something really serious, and he's like, he holds out like a deck, like a splayed deck of cards. He's like, pick a card, and she like grabs it, and it's just like the whole deck's just stuck together with glue. That's just one of his bits. Presumably.
Yeah, he's just riffing.
Pretty much, yeah. And that's same thing with the snake gun, which was...
Right, he's just working his material.
Not even a little bit funny. But yeah, but the big laugh came from that because, he would do shit like that, I guess, on The Tonight Show. So, but yeah, because if you look at his IMDb, it doesn't bat very deep. Like, it's literally Night Court, and then he had another show that came later, Dave's World, which is... Don't worry, it's on the TIS IMDb list I've created. So, we might revisit Harry Anderson's work down the line. But tonight.
My favorite line or phrase from this final episode was when Dan was having his dream trial and all the women were having a go at him. One of the terms he'd used for sleeping with women was,
don't forget the phrases, shucking the corn.
Now that's a bit, now
you guys like some of that?
I don't
some
think that's
shucking.
Okay. I don't think that's okay for family TV. I don't think you can say that.
What's that even?
You get away with it in the 90s.
How does that, what does that look like?
Dan's clearly into some weird shit. The fact that he was choking himself with his tie in his sleep just tells you what he needs to do to get himself off these days has gotten real weird.
It's strange to see John Larroquette as, because like I'm not overly familiar with him. Like I think I saw him in a Broadway show once.
Oh really?
Yeah, How to Succeed in Business with Daniel Radcliffe. Ooh. And I know him from The Practice. He plays like a real kind of wacky sort of guy. But it's weird to see him not as like the main wacky guy. Like as like a, he sort of starts off pretty straight laced and then he's pretty wacky by the end. But he's still not as wacky as Harry Stone, the judge.
Can tell you he won 4 Emmys from the show.
For this,
Jesus,
4 straight Emmys. Did he? Yeah, best supporting actor. He won 4 straight Emmys. So
in a comedy show,
and then he got like after this, he got his own show.
What was he up against? Like, how is this winning Emmys?
Travolta and the school show.
No, Cotter's Cotter. Well and truly gone. He's I don't know. He would. I mean, it's an Emmy, so I'm sure it's comedy.
I thought he was all right, and I don't think this show's anywhere near as bad as you guys are saying it was.
No, I'm with you, Jez. I actually think it's really good.
It's obviously pretty beloved.
I was defending it.
It's really good.
Yeah. I think decent for an 80s sitcom.
No,
I think
it's good. I think it's really creative. Yeah.
I don't know why
you're so off it.
My biggest bone to pick, to be honest, is the name. The name is Drevel. It's like they picked out two random words from the dictionary.
Milked
9 seasons of it, like, and then forgot to rename
it. Get out of here.
There's no reason why that's at 9. Let's be honest.
There is.
Well, and just Jeremy explained it at the start of the podcast. He said because they have that these courts that run into the evening to clear some lessons.
Night court. Like, you can do better than night court.
I don't know. They didn't have to back then.
Rename the show.
There was no reason to do better.
It's like it's a sequel to something else that was just caught.
You weren't competing with anything.
Which is an even worse show. Oh, so because the bar was so low that this was enough to win Emmys, that makes it fine.
If we were doing this podcast in 1985, you'd be saying how good and clever the name was. And
I would have been wrong. And I deserve better
in hindsight,
than. And I deserve
in hindsight,
better now.
Maybe. Maybe 35
John Larroquette
years later.
Is a monster. I want to posthumously strip him of his Emmys.
He did get Me Too'd at the end, which was, I guess, you know.
He was a
they can hang their hat on that if anyone goes back and looks over the... the Dan, side story,
and that's how he gets off.
That is how he gets off. He likes to have his corn shucks. Is that that's so wrong?
Is that a crime?
I'm really shocked that you've got this such, like, this isn't Will and Grace level of hatred that you've got here, but there's a bit of furore that I didn't see coming from you, Abe.
Just bad.
I was on the fence, and then the A-Link thing happened, and then I thought about the name, and
The alien thing should win you over, if anything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a point in the 4 column, is it, Jez?
Yeah, I think it is. It doesn't take itself too seriously. You clearly take it way too seriously.
That's an Emmy right in itself.
It's daring. It's willing to go play strange new places.
Sorry, it wasn't called Evening Legal Proceedings.
Would that be so hard? Yeah.
I don't know. The night court thing makes sense to me. It explains what it is.
It court makes sense.
Explains what
all those other confusing
title,
TV shows.
Descriptions in the title. And he, yeah. Good opening credits.
Good opening credits, and you know what it is.
Yeah, I'm off you. I'm off. I'm
a
off
good
you,
song.
I'm off you at the moment.
It's a good song.
You can't.
I mean,
you can't
we talk
that.
About. I mean. Larroquette's inventory of silverware from awards speaks for itself. So I think I'm on
the
way
to go against Larroquette
is history's
the
greatest
time
monster.
Emmy awards.
he
probably doesn't crack the top 100, but you can.
I've got an IMDb list.
Campaign for it. Right? All right, I'm looking forward to that.
Before we get to that, or reboots. Does everyone else? The only experience I had with Larroquette. Is he's the villain from Richie Rich. Is that the only thing I remember Larroquette from?
Oh, is he really?
For the gold bars, the diamonds, the negotiable bearer bonds, the money. Where's the money?
He doesn't look familiar in the first episode, but in the last episode, his look that he was rocking in like his 40s, I think was,
he's
really
definitely
bells.
if you like, do yourselves a favor. Like, you're not going to do it, but if you're like me, you'll go back and watch the finale of Night Court.
If we
and
like you,
Richie Rich, and just inspect the difference of hair color, because he's put a lot of boot polish into the hair for Richie Rich. There's a bit of work that's been done, and it looks insane in hindsight.
I am not going to watch the last episode again and then watch Richie Rich.
You should.
But I what do you mean? I appreciate you campaigning for that. Oh yeah, there's a fair bit of boot polish in that hair in Richie Rich.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. They've either CGI'd it in post or he's polished it up.
I don't think they really need to CGI slightly darker hair. But
no, they CGI boot polish in.
Mm. Yeah, Scott, I think you're the authority on this. Would you CGI in the boot polish in of the hair or in post, or would you recommend he gets it done in makeup?
Put it in hair, makeup and hair, and then remove it later.
Yeah.
In post.
Because then you've got it if you want it.
Exactly. Otherwise, yeah, you don't have it if you don't have it. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, a little movie making tip for those aspiring filmmakers out there.
If you need someone to have dark hair and they've got graying hair, get them to dye it or put it in.
No, if you need someone who's got grey hair and they've already got grey hair, get them to darken it. And then grey it later. Can it grey again in post? But then, if you decide to go down a different route in post production, you know you've already got the black hair to work with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That makes sense.
You don't get a morgue. It's pretty highbrow.
I don't know how you make the sausage. I won't try. Make technique.
It's up there with the Dutch tilt in terms of high concept.
Much like the Dutch tilt, I think it was pioneered in Citizen Kane. So.
They're both on the same level.
That's true. Those they two. Both have a lot of Emmys.
I would say history's greatest tragedy is that Larry Kett wasn't in Citizen Kane. Lost.
There's no proof. That he wasn't. I think he was in it, and then they CGI'd him out because they were like, "Well, if in case you want him, he'll be there." he was
to
in
give,
every
to
scene.
Give you some credit. To give you some credit, Morgs, I do enjoy the Morgan Cole cut of Citizen Kane, where you've just spliced in a lot of John Larroquette.
Where John Larroquette is in the background of every shot.
Yeah.
When he was -5 years old or something.
It's the Morgan Cole post-director's cut. Citizen Kane featuring John Larroquette.
Yeah.
You've got like release the Criterion Collection.
No,
Morgan
it's the new Snyder cut.
It's
release
yeah,
the Morgan
seven,
cut
it's,
of Citizen Kane.
It's 17 hours long.
It's the original vision of Citizen Kane.
Yeah, the original vision.
It's
the most difficult part.
It's Citizen Kane spiced with all of John Larroquette's scenes from the whole of Night Court.
Just finishes with Larroquette autoerotically asphyxiating himself.
Yeah, it's a tough watch, 17-hour watch. And I will say, from a creator's perspective,
rewarding,
the hardest part
rewarding, tough but rewarding, Morgan.
Tough but rewarding, but the hardest part was putting... CGIing Larroquette in, but pre-CGIing him in, getting him to dye his hair, and then undying it and CGI, and then putting
taking
him
it back out in post. Yeah,
and then they took him out. Outrageous
in a black and white movie.
And then they still insist on showing the original.
The Emmys have got it out for you, Morgs. A couple of them got one.
They
yet.
Do.
Orson Welles has no taste.
They don't share my vision. Exactly, they don't share my vision. That John Larroquette, you put John Larroquette in anything, it's instantly better. I think Larroquette's going into the TIS Hall
just
of Fame.
Check the trophy cabinet. How many Emmys do you have? Emmy voters?
Exactly.
Probably none.
Larroquette's got a bag.
He just carries around. I've heard that. He turns up to set, first day of shooting, new project. He'll just have a sack of Emmys over his shoulder.
Where can I put my Emmys?
It's like Pat Riley. You know Pat Riley's famous story when he's trying to court free agents to the Miami Heat and he just puts all the rings on the table? When Larroquette turns up to an audition, he doesn't ever audition. He just brings his sack of Emmys in and chucks it down on the
and then walks
the floor
out. Doesn't actually do it. Doesn't probably why he's got a real shallow IMDb post 95.
I'll see you on Monday. Picks him back up, walks out.
It's a boss move.
Can we reboot this show?
Yeah, I think we should reboot it. It's time to move on. Can I go first?
Sure.
Please. I mean, is it another... Is it Citizen Kane? Because we've heard that one more.
No, it's not Citizen Kane. Okay. Essentially, I want to take Apocalypse Now and then CGI in John Larroquette to all the key scenes... and use his work from Richie Rich, but CGI in him in, and it's called Larroquette Now.
Yeah. Just want to say Larroquette poking out of the mud. Him next to Martin
Sheen. Hair completely dry and full colour.
A swamp of shoe polish.
It's like a goddamn cactus is coming out of the water. No, I actually don't have one. I'm sorry. So please, someone else take the reins. I just,
all right.
I actually was trying to describe Citizen Kane, but then you cut me off.
I'll go. So as we discussed before, the gallery of the court seems to be made up of the cast of Michael Jackson's video clip for Beat It, 80s Street Toughs. So I figure, why not go down that route and we will have ourselves a good old-fashioned fight court where Judge Harry is replaced by like a panel of street toughs, and what they will do is they'll hear the opening arguments for each side, and then they will tape the people's wrists together and give them each a knife, and then they'll have a good old-fashioned knife fight. and then, you know, we'll just we'll knife fight it out.
All right.
And, you know, let natural justice sort of, you know, take course.
Street justice.
And, yeah.
Wade the streets.
Fight court, yeah.
Fight court.
I think that's probably as legally sound as Harry Stone's...
Flipping a coin?
Yeah. It's his regular processes.
He probably did it in one of these episodes.
It's good old-fashioned trial by combat, you know?
So in a lot of ways, that's more legitimate justice than what Harry was doling out.
I'm pretty sure
method of justice.
I'm pretty sure you can still request a trial by combat.
Can you name a champion?
In some states of the US, I believe you can.
You can name a champion, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Interesting. I pick Lou Ferrigno.
Ooh, interesting. Which one?
The 50th one. The one from the Incredible Hulk season 2, episode 9.
It's a good vintage.
He's real strong. Real green.
The greenest.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'm going to jump in with my reboot. So, I'm going to reboot this show as a reality TV show where you take somebody who's maybe, like, kind of offended you in a minor way that isn't illegal, but you want some sort of, not revenge, some kind of resolution to the interaction that you've had with someone. And it's called Slight Court. So, let's say somebody like blanks you on the street, or you invited somebody to your wedding, but they didn't invite you to their wedding later on. Serve them like you would with like a... what do you serve them with? Like a writ of papers or something?
Yep.
Invite them onto the show. They turn up onto the show. You have somebody who's like your sort of judge Harry Stone, and you just kind of hash it out, and you know, you get in witnesses, you get statements. It's like a regular court. It's just for stuff that isn't illegal. I don't know what the judgment's going to be exactly. Maybe just sort of some kind of public shaming on live television, like, something like that,
like equitable reparations kind of stuff, where possible.
Yeah, you get to kind of so it's like humiliate you in some sort of way.
If you're waiting for a park at the supermarket and someone dives in there and steals it, then the decision would be to give you that park.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Or maybe you own the rights to Citizen Kane, and you've slighted somebody who's made a superior version for the last 70 years. You get reparations.
Yeah, Morgan will be owed in the magnitude of millions. For that, so
Citizen
Cole might not be the best example. That is not a slight, Scott. That is far worse.
True.
Very true. There's no word in the English dictionary for how I've been slighted.
What time of day do these proceedings happen, Scott?
I think like 4 in the morning.
So exclusively dawn.
Yeah,
the only time that the court
sort of held
it.
It's like how all the shit radio shows are on between like 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. They just let you use the court for
listen to it.
There's like a room at the back of the dance floor at Revolver, and if you just sort of pop in there, that's where this is taking place.
That's Sly Court.
If you were at Revolver at like 5 a.m. and you just walked into a back room and there was like a legal proceeding going on. That'd be pretty incredible.
That'd be wild.
You're not leaving the room. You get yourself a beer. You park yourself there. You're in for an evening.
Aaron, as far as we know,
or dawn rather.
As far as we know from the gallery that appeared in Night Court, that is actually what the show is.
It was essentially a court happening in the back door, back room of Revolver.
Why do you think there's so many tufts there?
Pretty much.
Why do you think they're all wearing sunglasses? And they're all chatty.
Street tufts, Revolver.
All right, I'm gonna reboot this thing as well. So, I mean, we talk a lot of shit about TV shows, and I think the biggest problem for us is that our decisions aren't legally binding. So, I think we need an extra court added to our judicial system. So, we're making TV court so we can hear these cases of the viewing public against TV shows that have done us wrong. And I think we need...
What's the first case?
Well, I think we've started with...
Bowden v. Night Court?
Yeah, Bowden v. Night Court.
Oh,
and as the self-appointed judge of this, I think Night Court's gone away for a long time.
I feel like this is a little, you're a little
bit too close
to this.
And the judge?
maybe that's TV court. It's a stronger premise than Night Court.
You want results?
Like it might be some bias creeping in here.
I will hold
you in contempt, Jeremy.
That's fair.
You've argued in front of me before. I don't like it. Yeah.
Aaron, how many years are you going to give Eric McCormick?
I was going to say, what's the statute of limitations on this? Because I feel like your beef with Will and Grace is pretty old.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. They're going away as well. Like, okay. We're building a prison industrial complex that will put America to shame. There are just going to be TV shows, DVDs of TV shows rotting in prisons.
Not my DVDs.
So every single copy of Will and Grace has to be
sentenced
to life in prison.
They're getting Supermax.
Supermax.
Putting in isolation.
You got mad so with much, power. Yeah, so much. This goes so much further than Night Court.
Our streets are not safe for these TV shows, Jez. We got to finally get tough on TV crime.
That's the premise.
Yeah, that's true. Any sort of, you know, some young kid could be just walking down the street and stumble across a discarded season 6 of Will and Grace DVD.
Exactly.
Go home, chuck it in, and their mind's corrupted forever.
All of a sudden, they're in a gang.
They're a junkie.
It's Will and Grace gangs roaming our streets.
Exactly. Hanging out, acting like Jack, rotten plays.
I won't abide by it.
Yeah. Well, all right. I think we've remade this show as good as we could possibly make it. Should we move into the IMDb list?
So, this week, I have a very exciting list. It's by IMDb user Aaron Boughton 69.
No.
And the list is History's Greatest Monster. There's one name on it. Care to guess who it is?
If you say John Larroquette, I will jump to the computer screen.
Hey, it's on the list.
If I look this up.
It's on the list.
John Larroquette.
How do I look up users?
No, you need to be in the community, Jez.
Did you actually make a list and put John Larroquette on there?
No, but I will. He knows it's coming.
Okay. This is not the real list. It's a fake list.
In the meantime, I've got another list.
Right.
It is called Natural Causes or Close To or Natural Type-ish. And it's a list of 77 people who have died of natural-ish causes of death.
It's an interesting list to create.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
Naturally-ish.
There's no further information.
Sort of natural enough.
We've got Harry Anderson.
How did Harry Anderson die?
Good question.
He didn't die that long. He only died...
It's 2 years ago.
He died quite young, 65, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it natural, though?
68.
Naturally-ish. How did he die, Jez?
We've had a bout of influenza and suffered a number of strokes.
I mean, is that natural? I'm interested in this person's methodology.
Yeah, how do you...
it's natural-ish.
Yeah, it's natural-ish, but still, why make a list of that?
Like, yeah, I mean, if you go natural-ish, that's probably almost anyone who's ever lived.
Yeah, most people kind of die of natural-ish causes.
It's an unnatural cause of death.
Unnatural?
Getting abducted by two old Jewish men and taken to Florida?
I guess anything Benjamin Button related.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty unnatural.
Like, if you're if you die as you born as an old man and you die as a baby, that's not very natural.
Getting shucked like a piece of corn.
Very unnatural. Yeah.
Someone shucked your corn too hard.
The more we use that, the less comfortable I become with it.
Yeah, the you're corn souring on Larroquette?
Keeping my stock.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's the list.
Natural-ish.
There you go.
Causes.
Who else is it? Other people that died?
Yeah, we got, Leonard Nimoy, natural-ish. Jerry Stiller.
This is a dark list, Aaron. Really,
I'm trying to find someone that doesn't fit the...
I mean, Morgan, your arch nemesis, Orson Welles, is on this list. I mean, it says natural-ish, but I've got question marks after the grudge you hold.
I'd be very interested to hear what the coroner has to say about
that. Yeah, maybe Night Court should reopen that case.
Mm.
I feel like it's got Morgan's grubby paw prints all over it.
Please. Wells and I had our disagreements, but I don't think of him in the same way that I think of, let's say, Pitbull.
So if something were to happen to Pitbull, then... something unnaturalish.
So on IMDb user Morgan Cole 69's list of history's greatest monsters, in order, number one it's Pitbull, then it's Orson Welles.
Yes, I reckon there might be Orson might be down on two or three spots. I reckon there's other people in there, but I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
John DeLancey.
You got John DeLancey.
Oh, John DeLancey, there you are.
Welles will be in there though. He'll be in there.
Well, only because he doesn't share my vision for what Citizen Kane should have been. And, you know, the people aren't ready for it, but history will end up on my side.
It'll prove you right.
What's your birthday again, Morgs? October 6th?
October 4th.
4. Interesting. Because Orson Welles died on the 10th of October. Several years before you were born, but
how convenient.
Yeah. I'm just saying that it's unnatural-ish. It's unnatural-ish.
And that's the burden of proof, right, Jez? That's the threshold you need to meet to convict Morgan of murder.
If it was natural-ish, then I wouldn't bat an eyelid, but it's unnatural-ish.
Jez, would you go as far to say that it's supernatural?
That 4 years and 6 days after he... Sorry.
But I went back in time and killed Orson Welles because he didn't share my vision of Citizen Kane.
359 days after he died, you were born.
That's good maths.
You couldn't prove that's in a court of night, Jez. You can't prove it in a court of night.
I could maybe in a court of slide.
Maybe a court of slide, but otherwise definitely not a court of night.
I'll take it to film and TV court and see what they have to say.
I don't think so.
I'll hear your case.
I'm glad we've got different branches that you can go to.
I'm not going to put. I'm not going to let you get put behind bars until the cold cut of Citizen Kane comes out.
My true vision.
Yeah, the 17-hour version. Yeah. As it was intended.
Exactly. That's how Gregory Peck... Was it Gregory Peck? Yeah, Gregory Peck, how he wanted it.
Citizen Kane.
No, was it Gregory Peck or was it James Stewart? I can't remember. All I remember is John Larroquette.
Citizen Kane. Orson Welles. Why do we think...
Orson Welles. Oh, my God. Yeah. No. Right.
I don't think either of them were in it. Gregory Peck was
no,
in...
No, they're not.
Kill
Mockingbird. No, what am I... That's what I'm thinking of. I'm getting confused.
I mean, get John Larroquette in there. You got yourself a movie.
I've just done so much...
The Larroquette of Mockingbird. That'll come out at some point as well.
I know, but I guess the Apocalypse Now version of my Larroquette back library has just consumed me so much. I'm just getting everything confused. It's all just...
Larroquette Eclipse Now?
Larroquette Life.
Larroquette Now.
Larroquette Now.
Larroquette Now. Larroquette Now, To Kill Larroquette, and Citizen Larroquette. All...
the trilogy.
My John Larroquette Film Festival will be coming soon, so look out for it.
That's a mean triple header.
Oh, that's a big triple header.
6 days worth?
About 32 hours.
It's like, take a week off work, guys, because it's going
to
be...
Shia LaBeouf might sit down and watch them back to back in the theater.
The entire festival is showing in a back room at Revolver.
Yeah. If I can get John Larroquette to make an appearance, just to get him to play himself, it'd be great. But I don't know if he's going to come down. I need to call up. I feel like he might be insulted by what I've done. But anyway, let's move on to final thoughts on Night Court. Because obviously, Aaron, you obviously have subject
you know
to
what
taste
I think.
For this show. Yeah, so let's... I'm not even going to try and get your opinion, but Scott, what? Give me something. What? Give me something positive that you got out of Night Court.
Look, I like wacky criminal legal things, and this, I think, provided in that regard. That's about the best I can do. It wasn't really very enjoyable.
It was short.
Just pick me up. It wasn't that bad.
I don't think it was that bad at all.
No.
Do you think they gave John Larroquette the Emmy because it's short episodes? At least they judge things in the same way we do.
I think.
Well, at least it wasn't 2 1-hour opening and closing episodes.
Well, they'd have to sit down. They'd surely have to sit down and watch like the whole season of the show, every Emmy, every awards season, right? Mm-hmm, so they don't want to sit down and watch, you know, like 60-minute episodes of a TV show.
No way.
Keep it tight.
No, it's got the time.
They're going to appreciate a tight 24.
Makes sense.
No, but I'm surprised. This wasn't quite as didn't age as well as say Who's the Boss, but I thought it was still pretty solid. It was just really, very dated. And the end was really was just really weird. So
I mean, it's almost 40 years old now.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
So to have something kind of be relatively okay for being that far back, I think you got to give credit where credit's due.
37 years.
But no, I take it that I Aaron and I know you're definitely not going to go and watch it, but I reckon I might look up some YouTube clips of this. So I reckon there's probably some good content out there.
I got suggested one before that I feel like I'm going to click on. It goes for about 3 minutes 18. John Larroquette's in the thumbnail. He looks like he's got sort of... His hands look fake. Okay.
Oh, I'll watch that later.
John Larroquette with fake hands? I'm in.
That's some of Morgan's post-work.
God, that's you got John Larroquette and fake hands. That's two things like deep in my Q zone, deep in there.
He's got giant everlong hands in the Morgan's cut of season game. The everlong, the Foo Fighters song. For those that aren't aware,
yeah, exactly.
There another is one scene in the video clip where someone has giant hands.
Another one of the original visions of the Larroquette reimagining of Citizen Kane.
Instead of all the stuff getting burned in the furnace at the end, it's just Morgan just smashing it with his giant hands.
Well, because the hands just look... they look so much smaller on camera. So you've really got to bump the hand size up.
Wrong.
That's another trick.
Yeah. Anyway, we should probably wrap things up. So, as always, please, if you can... jump on your preferred podcasting platform, rate and review. That helps us out a lot. Jump on on our Facebook or our website and give us a suggestion. We love to get suggestions. We've had some really great ones. I reckon that about probably wraps us up. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Morgan.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Morgan.
And thank you, Jez.
Thank you, everyone.